This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio. Interesting to see how, of course, the participants in European football midweek respond to all different weeks, particularly for Juventus, and we will start there. Bologna, the team for Juve to take on this time around, an interesting Bologna side who have had some nice performances of late. But well, they're still in the bottom three.
They're still in the bottom three, but at least under Sinisa Mihailovic, there is hope of staying up.
A lot more hope.
Under, of course, Filippo Inzaghi, you know, when you only have two wins for the entire season, or at least up to, 21 matches that he was in charge, there was a very strong fear that the Rosso Blu would be going down to Serie B, something they haven't done in a very, very long time. But at least now there is some sort of hope.
The big question, how do Juventus respond from their worst performance of the season?
Well, there's only one way. And there's only one way that this can ultimately go if you are a Juventus follower and supporter, is you probably want to see a very, very, very big win. I'm almost talking about the biggest one of the season. You can't go out there and dish up what was put out on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning here, local time, and not expect that the ramifications are going to be very serious. You need to go out there and absolutely destroy Bologna. It's the only way. It's the only way you start to forget about the Champions League in a little bit. You're ultimately not going to, but it's the start of something going forward.
Well, the Bianconeri have a very good record against most clubs domestically in Italy, but almost none better than their record against Bologna. Bologna, no win for 21 years against Juventus, not since the 3-0 in 1998. Juve were a very good club back then as well. But sometime there, it's a big opportunity for Juve to respond. And I think it is important that they do exactly that. And I'm with you. I think multiple goals, a confident display, and a convincing performance all round. Perhaps with a few tweaks to the formation, as Allegri now. We said earlier, the question marks have been raised. He's come out and said, we have 20 days to get things right. You've got a few games in that time, Allegri. Get it right. But how do you get it right? You don't get it right by doing the same thing. You get it right by mixing and matching and changing a few things up. That will be the test for Allegri this weekend against Bologna, where they are expected to win. But again, the comforts of Serie A, the fact they are so far clear at the top and well clear of Napoli and there's no chance of anyone catching them, does that work in their favour? For me, I think from a professional perspective, nothing should change. They should take it very seriously and be very keen to make amends with one eye on the second leg at Juventus in a few weeks' time. But how do they approach this game after what is a tough pill to swallow, that 2-0 loss, which could have been a whole lot more, will be the big talking point. But players that need to step up. We saw Ronaldo not at his best. Given a 4.5 rating, Rick, out of 10 by Gazzetta in the Italian papers for his rating against Atletico. Paulo Dybala, of course, non-existence against Atleti, Mario Mandzukic nowhere near it, poor defensive midfield performances as well. So players individually also need to step up. And, you know, some even recently when we talk about Ronaldo questioning, well, was he worth it? He was brought here to deliver in these big games. Sure, he scored his 20-odd goals this season and he's looking good and he'll break all of these records, but that's not why we paid 105-plus million is what the fans are saying.
Yep, now he needs to respond to all those detractors. He needs to turn up. Firstly, he needs to help Juventus win a Scudetto, which you would think is almost done.
Almost done.
But he needs to now lead this team into the second league and beyond in the Champions League.
There is a record on the line for Juve. They are breaking records. They win this game, they'll become the first team in Italian history to win 22 of their first 25 matches. That means there's never been a more dominant season than this one right now. Yes, that's a plus. But again, I'm sorry, they did not purchase Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the best players in history, if not the best player in history, for that.
Correct.
No. They want more, and it's fair enough that they want more. You spend the big bucks, your club record signing. You could say they deserve more. They've worked themselves out, but no, not off the performances that we saw during the week. I am going to predict a convincing win here, though, for Juve. I say 3-0 win, and they will continue that 21-year run of dominance against Bologna.
I'm going to say 4-0. That's what I expect, and that's what I think will happen.
It really is the first step for this next little phase for the Bianconeri with some bigger games to come. One match I'm really looking forward to this weekend in Italy is Milan-Empoli. Now, Milan, they get a favourable draw here. They've got some winnable games coming up. They overcame Atalanta in what was undoubtedly the biggest match, I believe, under Gennaro Gattuso. Now, obviously, they've played higher profile fixtures, but given how good Atalanta have been this season and given the timing of this match, this was about it. If they could step up and win in Bergamo, a ground that's tough to go to, a ground where the Atalanta side had achieved some significant results in both the Coppa Italia and Serie A, that would be the turning point. And, well, Milan and Gattuso stepped up, 3-1 win on the road, and now they come into a match against Empoli where, well, this Milan side of 2 months ago, maybe we'd say, okay, danger game here against an Empoli side that won 3-0 against Sassuolo last weekend, but all of a sudden, they're up and running. They are playing exceptional football, undefeated in the league in 2019. They haven't tasted a defeat in the league for a very long time. In fact, not since a 1-0 loss against Fiorentina, which was now 7 games ago. They are where they need to be. And I think a win to nil with another clean sheet, another dominant Donnarumma display is on the cards here.
A solid 3-0 is what I'm expecting, to be honest. I think, yes, the reliance on one particular Polish international who's only signed, what, January 30, if I'm not mistaken. So we're talking about, well, what, 30 days ago, if that, you can just see how he's changed the entire complexion of this Rossoneri outfit. Yeah, 3-0 for me.
Of course, coming off the back of that stunning double against Atalanta. Is he the signing of the season in maybe even European football? Because he's come out of nowhere. It's a steal for Milan. Genoa obviously discovered him, but it's an absolute steal for Milan. And given, look, we could be looking back on this signing in 5 years' time and saying this was one of the most integral signings for any big club in European football this decade.
Quite possibly. I'll put him in the top five. I think I'll be a bit conservative and a bit generous, but I'd say he's definitely within the top five. Between him, maybe Parko you throw in there, Jason Denier of Lyon.
Yep.
There's a few of them that you would say would almost be of similar sort of significance, but definitely Piontek is in that list.
Huge, huge signing for Milan. And if he can score again, they get another 3 points. They're just doing those top four favours all the more good because it's an important, very important season for Gattuso and Milan. They do come up against a side in Empoli here that they haven't been supremely dominant over. Look, no clean sheet against Empoli since 2006. Only one win in their last four meetings. Empoli have been in Serie B in some of that time, but you just feel where they're at the moment. Romagnoli, one of the best defenders in Italian football. Very talented midfield that are playing very well together. Paquetá settled in well and taken his teammates to another level, and Piontek up top. Yes, it looks like a straightforward Milan win. Suso will be suspended, though, so someone will need to come in and replace him. The most interesting element about Milan, though, has to be Gattuso because the pressure has been on him all season. And like Di Francesco at Roma, he stepped up and they've turned it around. Maybe Piontek is the reason, but Gattuso has brought the best out of these players. The motivation is there. The passion is there. And he admitted, I don't always see eye to eye with the Milan board, but I don't need their praise because there's always respect. And I think they're working very well collectively together, despite the earlier issues that they had this season when he was very close to the axe, as they were saying he could have been sacked earlier on in the campaign. As for their crosstown rivals, Inter, this is the match of the round. Fiorentina-Inter, cannot wait for this because Fiorentina have been very solid. They've taken some good results of late. They've been solid defensively at times as well. They have been involved in a few high-scoring affairs, a 4-3 recently, I recall, against Chievo. But, well, the Mauro Icardi saga is what dominates this one again because Icardi didn't play midweek. He didn't play last weekend against Sampdoria. He didn't play in the first against Rapid Vienna. But Inter have got the results without him. Inter have stepped up without him. Inter have not conceded a goal without him. They have won games without him. Do you bring him back fit or not? Whether or not even the rumours of him being injured were true or not, because Juan Donato, the wife and agent, has slammed a report saying that they're just faking an injury. They're manipulating the fact that he's actually injured. Irrespective of that, given their recent form, 3 wins in a week, do you just omit him and stick with the winning formula?
Well, here's the interesting thing. Without Icardi, they've scored multiple goals in matches.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the interesting enigma or the paradox that has really emerged. I mean, 4 against Rapid Vienna, 2 last weekend against Parma. With Icardi, it was one man only focused. Get it to him, hopefully he can find the back of the net. It seems to me that at the moment with Spalletti, the others around him are all working better. Lautaro Martinez, of course, Raja Nainggolan, Ivan Perisic.
Mm-hmm. Politano scored
this morning as well in the Rapid Vienna win. It just seems they've got a few more options rather than just looking to the Argentine who only can seem to score one every game.
It's very interesting, but Fiorentina will not be an easy beat with or without Icardi. How do they respond from midweek? Are they buoyant as a result of going through to the round of 16? They'll, of course, know their fate with regards to who they're taking on. But looking forward to this. But Fiorentina are unbeaten in 2019. Are they ready to take another big scalp with a few of their youngsters now really performing at a high level? Of course, we've spoken about Chiesa, Simeone. These players really coming on. It's going to be the match of the round, no doubt about it, in Italy. So do not miss that. The other big game is Parma-Napoli, of course. Parma recently have been up and down. 3-3 with Juve a couple of weeks ago, looked good. They come here against the Napoli side that obviously cruised through against Zurich in the Europa League this morning. What read do you get on this match here? Because Napoli, again, nothing to play for in the league at all. Nothing.
But the problem is who have they played the last three matches? You've just touched on them. They've played the three teams that have happened to be in first, second and third place. Well, they're about to play the team that's in second. So they somehow came from behind 3-1 to draw 3-all against Juventus. They unfortunately held Inter out for a very long time and only were defeated by them last week.
That's right.
And now they've got Napoli this week who's just gone out and defeated Zurich in the Europa League. Not an easy run at all there if you are a Ducali supporter.
Exactly, and hence why they are winless in their last four. But Napoli only one win in their last four. But again, I'm just questioning here, what do Napoli have to gain in Serie A? Because finishing second or finishing fourth,
doesn't make too much of a difference.
And they won't finish fourth because they're well clear. They're 12 points clear of fifth, Roma 11 points clear of fourth, Milan 7 clear of Inter, and 13 adrift of Juve. 13 points. There's obviously no hope there for Napoli. So Ancelotti and Napoli, will they win? I'm not so sure. They just need to ensure that they're continually scoring, because in those three recent draws that they've had in their last four games in the league, they've all been 0-0. So they're hard to break down, but they also haven't been as prolific going forward. Napoli will get the win, though. I'm tipping there.
Yes.
So Milan-Empoli is the opening game of the round. That match tomorrow morning, 6:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Torino-Atalanta is another interesting one. Obviously, Atalanta needing to respond from a 3-1 loss and a standing ovation from their home fans. They take on Torino here. Rick, if Torino win this game against Atalanta, Torino will go ahead of Atalanta in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
It does not feel like that is the case, because Torino haven't been very good this season. Not as good as Atalanta have been. Many are saying Atalanta certainly
under the radar.
Completely under the radar. 0-0 earlier in the season. So if Torino win this, they will have a better head-to-head record over Atalanta. Both level on 38 points. And Torino will be sixth, depending on other results come the end of the round. Very interesting. Bologna-Juve, we touched on Sampdoria-Cagliari. Can Sampdoria finally end three straight defeats? Only one goal in that time. Can Quagliarella get back on the score sheet? Well, here's an opportunity, but no game is an easy game here. And Cagliari, of course, coming off a rare win, just their fifth of the season against Parma. I hope that Sampdoria can, because they were also hopeful of finishing in the European spots, but they will need the 3 points here at home against that side. Chievo-Genoa, Sassuolo-Spal, and the final match is Frosinone-Roma. Roma, again, off the back of what they did in the Champions League a couple of weeks ago. They're back into some nice form. Another favourable game here against a side that, well, they should be beating. And if they do, it'll be four straight wins in all competitions.
They should, but Frosinone may have a chance to try and get themselves out of the relegation zone.
Talk to me how they can do that, Rick.
Well, they somehow need to beat Roma.
Without looking, do you know how many home games Frosinone have won this season?
Yeah, I know. It's not a lot, is it?
It's zero.
Exactly.
They have the worst home record in the competition. 5 draws, 6 defeats in 11 right. games. If Roma lose this or don't win, Roma, given the form we've seen, they must win. Di Francesco must lead this side to a win.
And but again, knowing Roma,
it's not certain.
It's not certain at all.
Interesting comments midweek by Zaniolo, of course, the youngster who's really burst onto the scene in recent months, joined from Inter in the summer. Zaniolo has hinted that he'd like to emulate Totti and be a one-club player at Roma. Well, obviously won't be a one-club player because he did start at Inter, but would like to play for a long time with Roma. So good to see that he's set her in. And, of course, so the pressure on Di Francesco, when we joke about the result, but the pressure is on because of those Sarri rumours, of course. So, again, he's not safe and secure at this club.
No. Not at all. That's the thing. That's the thing.
There is one other game, Lazio-Udinese.
Postponed.
Why?
Because Lazio are playing in the Coppa Italia. That will be midweek. unless the FIGC will reschedule it to the Saturday or the Sunday. The game is actually meant to be played Monday night, and this is to help Lazio sort of recover a little bit more from the Europa League schedule. So okay. It is currently postponed, but do wait. That could be actually rescheduled to be played on the Sunday, and that would mean everything would be rosy.
Okay, so a slight overload of fixtures there for Lazio, but certainly looking forward to the action this weekend. One eye on Fiorentina Inter, will not miss that. Milan Empoli should be interesting watching. Well, how do Juve respond after that shocking defeat in Madrid midweek in the UEFA Champions League, with the pressure mounting on Massimiliano Allegri? And if you miss the end of our first hour, just recapping that after the 2-0 loss to Atleti, Juve's stock price, the share price there dropped by 10%. Quite incredible. And also, the seventh trending topic in Italy after the match was Zinedine Zidane. Nothing to do with any reports or rumours. It was just simply that fans wanted Allegri out and Zidane in. They have had enough. How will he be received by the UEFA faithful? Of course, they're on the road this weekend, but particularly in their next match at home. Obviously, they will play at home again before welcoming Atleti to the Allianz Stadium in a few weeks' time. But it's a big week. They have one game against Udinese at home. I'm very curious to see how that plays out. Of course, not before a trip to Naples next weekend. We're all looking forward to that.